What a show today, huh?
That's saying something.
What a show today. Yeah. Starts out with some pretty harsh words for Iran, the president, Palestine, because we saw some things that most people have not seen. We explained that in the program. Stu, of course, takes the stand against God in much of the show today, which I found interesting myself. But see, he didn't even want to talk about it.
I disagree with your analysis as usual. Yeah, well,
you decide. You listen to the podcast. The evidence is everywhere. It's riddled with evidence. Today's podcast, right? It was a sad day. It really was when the little McDonald's down the street lost their best burger flipper. I mean, it was a real tragedy, but young Braden, he was moving up in the world. He'd hitch his wagon to a distant star and would ride his way on to fame and fortune. "No burger flipping for me anymore," said Braden, shaking the dust off the Friolator grease from his shoes as he ambled to the parking lot towards his bicycle. "From now on, I'm going to be a real estate agent." Now, if that story kind of terrifies you because you're thinking about buying or selling a house and you don't want to end up with Braden, I've got good news. He started a company a decade ago. It's called Real Estate Agents I Trust, that actually pairs you up with actual experts who will not only work their butts off trying to help you on both the buying and selling end, but who also know that the people that they trust, you'll be able to trust. The things that you have to get done, they'll have that Rolodex to be able to say, no, call this guy, he'll get it done at the right price, and it'll be right. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. The name says it all. Go to RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. That's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right, we welcome to the program Jason Buttrill and Pat Gray, and of course our executive producer on the program, Stu Bergier. So, Stu, you probably, well, maybe, I don't know, made the right choice of not coming to a confidential briefing that we got from the consulate general here in Texas from Israel. They flew in to give us a briefing on what they're actually facing over in Israel. And I felt bad for Pat. Pat looked at me right before it started, and he said, "I don't watch rated R movies."
Oh my God!
This is going to be disturbing.
Yes. Yeah. And it was disturbing for anybody, even if you did watch rated R movies.
Oh,
it is
worse than anything you could possibly imagine, right? I mean, these are all of the horrific.
No, not all of them. She actually started by saying to us, "You will not see the worst. We are not going to show you the sexual assaults with the killings during, before, or after." She said, "You will, you'll not see the worst." But what we did see, I wish everyone could see. I really do. Pat said it should be shown.
Required viewing for every college campus.
Every university should have to see this. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is in doubt has to see this. It is by far, it was like walking through a concentration camp. It really was. Not like after, now it's a museum. I mean, with the bodies laying there. It was that disturbing. I had to get up. I could barely sit through it. It was 45 minutes. She said, you can leave at any time. But we all stayed there and we all watched it. There was about eight of us out of a company this large. There were eight of us. She told us afterwards, and the only reason why there were eight of us here yesterday was because everybody else said, I can't watch it. What was very disturbing after, we said, "Have you brought this to the mainstream media?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." "Do they see it?" "No." "Is that just a few people?" She said, "No, it's the vast majority." And it's not because it's too disturbing. They're not watching it for things like the local people you know, in big metropolitan cities, they are all saying, well, what's the local angle? What do you mean, what is the local angle? You have people in your own universities, in your own streets, screaming for, you know, death to Israel, death to America. What do you mean, what is the local angle? That is the local angle.
Not to mention it's been 196 days and there's still American hostages living through this.
I don't know. Did you get a dog tag yesterday?
No.
I got a dog tag from a place yesterday that they sent it to me. We've been supporting them in Israel. And they sent me the dog tag of return them home. Return them home. They all must come home. I pray that they're all dead.
Wow. Well,
one of the things that was asked of the general counsel, it was, is there a chance that the six Americans are dead now? She said, oh, there's a very good chance of that. So I don't know. Maybe the administration, maybe that's one of the reasons they don't even talk about them.
This is really
because they know
bad.
They're dead by now. I don't know. But
Jason, you were the only one who has been to war you know, my security detail, all of you are military special ops, most of you. And three of you were in this meeting last night. On the way home, I asked Caesar, one of the guys, I said, Caesar, I don't have any idea what war is like. I said, was any of that like war? And he looked at me and with horror, and he was like, no, that's not the way war is. And I didn't have a reference because I've never seen. You've seen things. You've seen dead people in war. The difference?
That's interesting that he would say that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I've seen, you know, the death and destruction. I've seen bodies. I've seen what war can do in the battlefield. But you never see so many civilians that have just been slaughtered and are lying around everywhere. That was like going into a slaughterhouse.
Oh my gosh, some of them.
The images are like going into a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, like going into a preschool.
That is not something you see in war.
Oh my God.
And I have seen a lot, so I wasn't surprised by most of it. I was surprised by the civilian casualties. That just to see that is surprising. I don't care who you are.
I don't think I'll ever unsee the little children that had been burned alive in their little Mickey Mouse pajamas. And what was so disturbing about it was they had audio tapes, and most of this came from the body cameras of Hamas. They were thrilled to do all of this. And
the glee was so disturbing.
So disturbing. Like you don't even see Nazi movies like this. Okay, you don't even see.
Yeah, because
you would have like Schindler's List, where you have the one guy who's just indiscriminately shooting.
But it was businesslike. That's what made it so cold, Schindler's List. It wasn't exciting. I'm thrilled to do it. It was like, this is mundane.
Correct.
You know, that was what was about that.
This was so inhuman. They're screaming, God is great. God is great. God. Every time they do something, they were hacking people apart, and then they would call their commander. They'd get on the radio and call their commander, and they would say, we just killed them. We just killed them all. And the commander of Hamas would say, cut their heads off and play soccer with them. Cut their heads off and give them to the people to play with. Crucify their bodies. The Hamas commanders would take a horrid situation and then tell them, now play with them. It was so dark and so evil. I mean, it is Old Testament evil stuff.
Were you struck too by the, when they returned to the Gaza Strip, some of the Hamas terrorists carrying bodies and wounded, and they're in the back of pickup trucks, and
they're just stacks of them.
They come back to the Gaza Strip, and there are thousands of people celebrating, cheering, participating in this. They're loving it.
Oh, they love it.
It's not just Hamas.
It is
everybody you see in this video.
Yeah, it is so clear. There might be 10%, maybe 10%, 20% of people that are not for this and are just, you know, afraid.
We didn't see them in this video.
Yeah, we certainly didn't see it. But the polls show they are, you know, 80% of the people, the Palestinians, are okay with it. And they're on our streets as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think this is coming here, you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. And, you know, you don't put 80% of a fire out. We didn't stop with the Nazis until the German people said, I give, I give, I give. Okay, all right. And then even after we ended the war, we went in and we hung the Nazis that were responsible in any way, shape, or form. And anyone who is still trying to hide out with that philosophy, we couldn't kill all of them, but we killed a lot of them. Even after the war, you cannot stop until this is completely wiped out. It will never, ever go away. Never. And Iran is one of our best opportunities because the people of Iran are not like this. Palestinians, I can't vouch for them. Because just you look at the polls.
Look, the polling is terrible.
It's horrible. Yeah. But the people of Iran are not like this. It's just mainly the leadership of Iran. And it's got to change. It has to change. This evil must not stand in the United States.
You know, it's interesting because there's a circumstance in the Bible that's talked about, in Deuteronomy, where the prophet Joshua is instructed to entirely wipe out a people, kill every living thing. And that means women, children, the animals. And everything. It was because the evil was such that it had to be wiped out. And the people who were there didn't have a chance. It was so evil. They were so steeped and marinating in evil that it was better for them to go than continue in that evil. They were wiped out. Now, I don't know if that's the case with the Palestinians. I'm not their judge. But it's what kept going through my mind when we were watching that video. You can't stop, at least until you kill the Hamas terrorists.
It's not even like Germany, where people would turn their face from it. Mm-hmm. They are... Stu, there were things that we saw. They were playing with heads, and one was I don't even know how all of the bones had been crushed, and so the face, the head, was just like a bag, and it was flat. I've never seen anything like it. They just beat and beat and beat and played with the bodies, and it was so incredibly evil with glee and God is great. God is great. Mm-hmm. That is not a God I recognize. I'm sorry, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would condemn that, and we should all condemn that, and there should be no misunderstandings. I don't care what your religion is. If your religion condones that, your religion is evil. Period.
How about the phone call from the terrorist to his parents? Mm-hmm. And it's been talked about. That's one of the most disturbing things in that video.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Let me tell you about Jace Medical. Jace Medical is not just for, you know, serious issues. You're on vacation and I'm starting to blow yellow. Oh, that, why would you talk about that? Well, it's part of life. You know what I mean? So what do? You want to call up a doctor. You want to go see the doctor when you're in another country, whatever. you can have Jace Medical, a Jace case with you. Now, let's say, well, I don't know, we're hit by a nuke. Okay, what are you going to do? You weren't hit by a nuke. You're one of the survivors. You got Band-Aids. Do you have anything else? Do you have anything that is going to keep your family alive? And I mean, just with the regular heart medicine or blood pressure medicine or any of that, Jace Medical can help you with that. Have a year's worth supply of medicine that you and your family need at home. JaceMedical.com, JaceMedical.com, promo code Beck. Now back to the podcast. We're dealing with a true ancient evil in the Middle East. We have Jason Buttrill here, who is a main researcher for the Glenn Beck program and also watches over military operations and conflicts all around the world for me. Explain what happened yesterday with Israel and this wuss response from Israel. Was this the response or a response? What was this?
This was a brilliant response,
was it?
In my opinion.
Why?
What Israel essentially did was they straight, and it's kind of, I mean, all three of us, you asked us what's going to happen. We were all collectively right. you two said they were going to strike back at other targets, yeah. Which they did in Syria and Iraq, but they also struck inside Iran. So it's definitely a new Middle East. The proxy status is dissolving right before our eyes. But they hit the location. Let's start with the proxy locations. They hit proxy locations. There's not a whole lot of information we do know. But what it looks like to me in analyzing previous attacks is that these are locations that have been given Iranian weaponry, specifically like cruise missiles and shorter range missile systems, like the kind that hit Israel. But they also struck near Isfahan in Iran. That's their main missile manufacturing area, is right there. So this was a very limited strike. I would say maybe a few planes. Maybe a few planes. I don't think they even launched the missiles from Iranian territory, which means probably somewhere over Iraq. They were able to reach out and touch Iran without Iran knowing a thing about it and completely destroyed the targets that they wanted to destroy. Iran launched 350 plus missiles, couldn't kill a single thing or destroy a single thing. They did this in such a way that showed Iran, we can hit you whenever we want, you will never know it, and it will be precise.
Such a good thing for the people of Iran, because you cannot turn the people of Iran.
Exactly, right.
They're not part of this.
No, there was no collateral damage that we know of at the moment. Mm-hmm. This is how you restore deterrence. This is exactly how, I mean, and let's just be honest here. This is not a surprise or a secret that the proxy status is dissolving in front of us and that the Middle East is becoming something new and something terrible. This is a result of foreign policy. This is Joe Biden's foreign policy. He went away from the Abraham Accords. He re-engaged with Iran, coddled Iran. This is what you get. This is exactly what you get, and it is entirely on them.
And it's interesting, too, that there's a level of de-escalation here by Israel as well. Like, they did, yes, this is as far as they've gone, right? But it is considerably less than what Iran tried to do.
It's de-escalation through strength.
Yes.
Iran has no choice but to go back to their quote and say, we consider this concluded. They have no choice. Because right now you have a bunch of mullahs sitting around the table going, oh crap, we're kind of screwed here.
Do you think that's what they're going to do? Are they going to basically not respond after this?
I highly doubt against Israel proper. Mm-hmm. I highly doubt. I think they go back to the way they usually operate their probably because they are decades behind Israel. Decades. And it really is jaw-dropping. I mean, not only Israel, but the United States, you know, all of our like allies, how much far ahead we are against, you know, this axis of evil, like Iran, North Korea, Russia.
Sure.
They're crazy and can do some crazy things, but we are way ahead of them. And as this shows, I mean, it really is kind of breathtaking and amazing just how efficient Israel is.
So this is not maybe going to improve your mood much, but according to the Palestinian Authority's official news outlet, the Palestinian General Intelligence Service on April 4th provided a grant to 36 families of agency officials who died or were in prison as a result of their involvement in anti-Israel security crimes. And they paid their families off with money that came from us.
Unbelievable.
We will pay the families of the martyrs, and they are using American dollars that we are giving them to reward the martyrs and the families. So that you've always got that going for you.
So sorry, American dollars going to, you know, towards the Palestinians, Hamas. American dollars going to Israel, as that's as it should be, I believe, right now. American dollars also going to Iran. American dollars going to Iraq. American dollars that will be spent when we have to deal with a lot of that stuff, when it goes completely. Where is there not the stain of our ridiculous foreign policy, geopolitics, how we deal with the entire region and world? We're funding every single side here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the right side, we're funding, I think, kind of against the government's will. I think they would cut off the money for Iran. I mean, I'm sorry, for Israel in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If they could.
Yeah.
If they could get away with it, they would cut it off in a heartbeat. Look at what's happening around our own country right now. And no one is saying anything about it. You have people chanting death to America, quoting the Ayatollah Khomeini in large sections and large numbers of major cities. You have the campuses. What happened yesterday at Columbia? Police had to come in and shut the whole thing down yesterday. We were talking to the consulate yesterday, the Israeli consulate. What is the university in New Orleans? It Tulane. It has 50% of the population of Tulane is Jewish. There are protesters there, and the Jewish students don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And who's doing anything about it?
I understand where Israel's coming from, but I think they need to mass produce the video that they showed us yesterday.
I do too.
It's got to be everywhere. It can no longer be ignorance for you to go out and chant death to America. That has to do with Iran. Iran greenlit the October 7th attack. They have to.
Asked them, I said, look, can I put out a general call and say, come to a movie theater with me and you guys can present it, but you can come in, you know, we'll vet you in advance so we know who you are and see it. And they said, no, we can't do that.
They just don't want everyone see. What's the reasoning? Just it's too disturbing for the families of these people?
No, the families in many cases. One of the more disturbing things was the attack on the family and these two little boys.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And the mom survived, and she insisted that video be included. She's like, no, no, no. The world needs to see what happened to my family. Mm. And so what was it she said? She said, we just can't.
She said the people that see it need to have a reason to see it or something like that.
She didn't. I think their deal is they don't want to deal in death. You know, right. they don't want to be seen as just, but I have to tell you, it's if we could have seen the death camps in advance, okay? If the American people could have seen the beginning of the death camps and the showers, it's not enough to talk about it. It's just not enough.
I want to see these people continue to protest in that way. If they have seen that part of the video, and just a quick narration, these terrorists march into a village. They slaughter a dog that was running up with a happy wagging tail.
Yeah, tail, not an enemy.
Slaughter the dog. The is a friendly dog. Then they go through, and you see their body cam turn as it looks into the screen window. They shoot an old person sitting there in front of the behind the window.
Nothing.
Hear them groan and drop. Then you go to this specific house with the boys. It turns to CCTV footage camera. They're in their underwear. You can tell they were woken up by the gunshots. The father takes the two kids, hides them, shields them with his body from a grenade, and he drops instantly. Then the two kids are screaming, "Why am I alive?"
Is he dead? Why am I alive?
The little kids.
Little kids.
One of them says...
6'8".
Well, yeah. One of them said to the other, I think we're going to die. And the other brother came and comforted him and tried to, you know, heal him. That one, the little kid had lost the vision in his eye. Couldn't see in both. He's gained back his vision now in one eye. But the other brother was shielding him. It was shocking.
And then what do the terrorists do? They walk into the house and start rummaging through their refrigerator, drinking their juice and Coke and stuff, looking for food. It is the most animalistic thing I've ever seen.
And the kids were smart enough to hide. They ran out and hid. I don't know where they hid.
That was God stuff right there.
That was. How they got out of that house alive and hid, when you see the entire community, everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Everyone's dead. It's what happened in Poland and Czechoslovakia when the people would go into towns and they would put everybody into a church, they'd chain the doors and they'd burn it all down, and every single Jew in the community was dead. That's what it was. It's shocking. And how these two kids survived is beyond me. Other than a miracle from God.
I spoke to an IDF guy. He was probably like in his 90s, and he was in the Six-Day War. It was in Sderot, one of the places that got hit. And I was like, at some
Sderot
point...
Sderot was hit?
Sderot was hit as well.
I didn't know.
I've been there. Yeah. But I asked him, I was like, how the heck did you guys win? And he goes, at times it felt like God closed their eyes and shut their ears. And that quote came back to me when those two little boys, when you see them run around the corner... When there's terrorists everywhere.
There's CCTV footage on this whole area. And so you can follow the kids. And they're running out. As soon as they leave the door, I don't know. Nobody spoke during this thing. But as soon as they open the door, I'm like, oh, dear God, don't do it. Don't go. Stay inside. And they run out. And then you see them running in an open space between houses. And there are guys just shooting
everything,
and they just run and snake around, and they're kids. They're not trying to be, you know, like low to the ground or anything. They're just running like little kids run in an open field, and somehow or another, nobody saw them to kill them. It's
wow. So that they were survived.
They survived. They survived. Wow. They survived. Terrible.
Let me ask you this: how would this play out if you? You're one of these large protests, the pro-Hamas protests that we've been seeing all around the country. If you had 2,000 people there at one of these protests, and somehow there was on one of the big walls nearby, they just played this footage. How does that crowd react to it?
That crowd is going to start saying very soon that this is all deepfake. Let me deny it.
They wouldn't be won over. They wouldn't see the horror and change. And
I think maybe some would. The hardcores definitely won't. Jeez. Hardcores definitely won't. Let me just give you this is the polling from the Palestinian territories of Hamas. This is taken after October 7th. 95% of the Palestinians, when asked, do you think people around you will forgive what Israel did in this war someday? This is asked like October 10th. No, we will not forgive at all. 75% of Palestinians extremely supportive of the military operation led by Hamas on October 7th. 76% of Palestinians, somewhat positive, very positive view of the role of Hamas. 97% of Palestinians have a very negative view of Israel. 97% very negative view of the role of America. 84% of Palestinians have a very positive view of the role of Islamic Jihad. 74%, when presented with a choice of a two-state solution or a Palestinian state from the river to the sea, 74% say river to the sea. When asked about their own preference for the party, who should be in control, 60% said Hamas. 85% responding to the videos. No, I'm sorry. 93% responding to October 7th. 93% said that they were fine, that Hamas didn't commit any atrocities on October 7th. 93% no atrocities. And you can't tell me it's just because they didn't watch the videos. These, a lot of these videos came from their own video channels that everybody is accessing. And the people on the streets know exactly what was going on.
And that's the wrong question, because they don't consider killing Jews atrocities.
Correct.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Jason Buttrill joins me, a chief researcher, and he's the guy who oversees global military affairs and relations. Did you guys see the story that came out on The Blaze yesterday? I read this and I'm like, oh, wow, wait a minute. Is another Glenn Beck prediction about to come true? Nearly 2 years ago, Glenn Beck issued a warning to his audience. The federal government will use climate change as the national emergency. It will give the president the kinds of powers that a president only gets when we are attacked on the homeland and we are at war. According to a Daily article, Daily Caller article published yesterday, the White House officials now are weighing whether to declare a national climate emergency several months out from the 2024 election.
Yeah. Makes complete sense. I think poll numbers will have a they'll play a big role in that as well. The worse it gets for them, the more willing they will be to do that.
Well, they say that this is the way that they can reach the young, but I think it's also a way to silence everybody. I mean, the power that the national government, that the president, the administration, and the president will have will be unprecedented. It's war powers. Yeah. I mean, you forget whatever they decide to do. They can do, or at least that's the case that they will make.
And this has been how long, I mean, you've been talking about this for as long as I've known you, but their desire to discover this pathway to war powers without war has been a consistent, you know, lust for the American progressives for 100 years.
Yeah, and they have been carefully crafting this story about war for a long time. Climate change is this generation's World War II. Mm-hmm. They've been saying that for how long?
A long time.
Right. So now, if they officially declare war on it and declare a climate emergency, that changes everything. That changes everything. The president will take basic war powers and be able to do whatever he wants, but I don't know what else he wants to do, quite honestly. He's already doing everything.
Yeah. I mean, the student loan situation, which again, they're not really loans. When you don't pay them back, they're not loans. But the student loan situation is a great example of it. I mean, he's doing everything he can. He's rolling over the Supreme Court in front of everyone's eyes.
Yep.
And no one cares. It's like story 87 every day if he does anything on it.
Nobody cares.
Other than to say, he just gave the young people billions of dollars. What a good man. That's the only way it gets covered.
People have got to understand that their tax dollars, your hard-earned dollar, is going to fund Iran, is going to pay off the martyrs of the October 7th Hamas attacks. We just told you that story yesterday. Those are your tax dollars. Your tax dollars... you make $300,000 plus a year? Well, you just bailed out through this illegal, loan forgiveness from President Biden. You just bailed out people that make over $300,000 a year.
And what happens when the courts reverse this, which they probably will? Are they taking the money back from the... maybe they will from the $300,000 person.
Yeah, but will it go?
Where does it go?
You get it back?
Yeah, certainly we don't get it back.
No.
And do they take it away? You're telling me this government, like foreign election, is going to be like, oh, well, the person that made, $27,000 a year, we're going to go back and take the $14,000 in loans we just paid off. There's no way they're doing that. I mean, they're going to find a way out of it. And this is someone who cares about student loans in the grand scheme of things. What you should care about even more is the fact that they
know how the government works. They know if you want to spend $500 billion, they know how to do it. You got to go to Congress. You got to get approval for that. They don't even have to come up with the money. They just have to get approval for it so that they can print more money, right? So they can go out and they can do that. And they just skip that process completely. They try to do it through executive order. It gets overturned by the Supreme Court. And then they do it again.
Yeah. This they admit that they know they cannot do it.
Yep.
They
admitted multiple times.
They cannot do it. They admit it several times. Then they just do it. Then the court overturns and says, you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just do it anyway. And they keep expanding it. Now, the Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act.
Gosh.
Why do you say that, Jason?
I mean, it's just amazing to me that they're empowering FISA to get even worse at a time when we actually have a committee. We have to have a committee on the weaponization of government. Like, how bad do we think this is going to get? The reforms on this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So you know, it was this is the FISA thing, the Section 702. Was it 702, 701, 702? And it was, you know, goes back through Congress and nobody wants to talk about it. And some of the GOP stands up. Most of them are worthless. And this is for warrantless wiretaps on you. But in between the votes, right before the final vote, members of the House Intelligence Committee inserted new and troubling language now that we are discovering. It not only allows you to, if you are eavesdropping on somebody and they're contacting somebody overseas, blah, 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 they could be a spy. It now is just not, well, the phone call or the their email. It's now computer centers. It is an enormous range of businesses. It could be your business. Anyone who has a server is now at the whims of the federal government. It makes all of us spies and all of us also the spied upon.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much worse. So before, let's just say Stu is accused of doing some kind of foreign dealings with a Russian asset or whatever. Well, they would have to go through the government, would have to go through whoever your wireless provider is,
right,
and then get permission to listen in on your phone calls with this person.
Correct.
Now, with these additions, they don't have to do that. They could say, well, he works at the Blaze. So we know they have a Wi-Fi. So we're just going to tap into the Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
The Blaze has no choice but to comply. And not only that, but they can't talk about it. You are under a gag order, so you can't reveal that to anyone. So how many other people are connected to that Wi-Fi?
So here, right. So here
they grab all sorts of stuff unrelated.
Grocery stores, department stores, hardware stores, laundromats, barbershops, fitness centers, commercial landlords that rent out office space where people go to work every day. Let's see. Everyone is a spy is what they're calling this.
That's right.
So now, no matter where you are, the government can just come in, gag order. We're taking over your servers. We need to see all the traffic on your servers. So there is no safe place anymore for privacy. I'm not saying safe place for bad guys. I want bad guys to be caught. I want a warrant. What they're doing now is a general warrant. General warrants are exactly what caused the revolution.
It was really clear that we were against general warrants in the founding of this country.
Yeah,
like it was like the thing they were like most pissed off about.
There's like two different out of the 10, I think warrants are in two of the 10 mm-hmm. of the amendments.
And let's kind of like talk through some scenarios on that, because I think that's really important, because this is kind of a hard concept, you know, to really think about. But I mean, we already don't trust the government. The government is already overstepping. They are weaponized. Imagine how they can take advantage of Let's take the stew example again.
Why? Why do we keep going to the stew example?
Because you're probably the most guilty among all of us.
Probably the most guilty.
I just want to make sure there are no P tapes.
I was like the most likely person to be surveilled by the government.
Okay, thank you.
For something bad, Stu.
Thank you.
Okay, so what other information could they gather when they have access to the entire Wi-Fi of this building? Let's say we have confidential sources that they really want to out.
Jeffy works in this building. Can you imagine what is on the Wi-Fi of this building?
Okay, let's not use our own network as an example anymore. We're going too far.
No.
But you're right.
But like, seriously, you are going in. They can spy because if somebody is a, you know, let's say CBS News is renting space in a business.
Yeah.
And they're in Washington, D.C., and it's not their building, but they may have a floor. All they have to do is go to the building and say, we need access to the Wi-Fi, and they'll have everything they need. They'll be able to access all confidential files. It is literally a backdoor into everything.
And you know how easy it would be to abuse for the government? Let's say they want a confidential source from CBS News. Mm-hmm. CBS News probably has an affiliate in some country that has a foreign adversary. Let's say they have a correspondent in Moscow. Oh, the government can make a case. Oh, this correspondent met with this person that we know is an FSB agent. Instantly. They don't need the warrant. They can just go and take it over and get whatever they want. Let's say a bank who also has a foreign affiliate in Moscow or wherever. Instantly, they could say, oh, we want pre-knowledge of what this bank is doing, some of the thing, you know, some of the policies, whatever. Instant access to that bank, get whatever information they want. This is the spy. This is Big Brother. I would say the beginnings, but it's already beginning. But this is Big Brother pump getting another dose of steroids.
Mm. Now, add a national emergency to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Now add a war or terrorism to that. We're China. There is no escape. And I don't understand. I mean, the people who are making the decisions in our government right now, and I blame both parties, but the people who are...
Well, I mean, Johnson is supporting this, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's the Speaker of the House. So you're going to get... you're still going to get... There's talking about how it needs to be passed with Democratic votes, which is true, but you're still going to get 100-plus voters from the Republican side to support this.
You want to know... If you really want to know who you can trust in Washington, just look at how they voted on this bill. If they voted yes for this, don't trust them. Don't trust them. They've either sold out, they're being manipulated... they're being spied on. Whatever it is, I don't care. But you can't trust them.
Mm. Now, this is a new change, by the way, because I mean, I've heard people talk about other elements of this bill and say, "Well, there's two different elements of FISA. One, this is the one about foreign contacts. There are some good things that we could use this for." And I think that's largely true. However, if you have something like this that expands that power, you have to shut it down.
And they don't.
And they're not.
There's a couple of other things that the FCC is now growing in its regulatory abilities. They're just taking over the internet. And they're doing it, and they're just all kinds of new regulatory rules that they're putting in. And it will choke the internet to death. And control the internet. It is another way to come at anybody who is saying something or doing something that the government doesn't like. It is a way to control them. Again, this is the largest expansion, and nobody's even talking about it. This is the largest expansion of FCC power ever. And nobody's talking about it. Okay. Well, I mean, America, if this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. For me and my family, I serve the Lord. I will answer only to the Lord. There is no king but Christ. There is a constitution that I will follow. There are laws and the amendments that I believe in and that I will follow. I will not support anyone who is saying, you know what, we have to have extra powers to stop all this. No, you don't. You need the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's it. I am not for overthrowing the government as specified by our founding documents. I am absolutely for standing up against any government that is abusing those rights, but I will not stand with people who are standing up against that government who are like, you know what, but we got to take matters into our own hands. We've got to take on these extra. No, 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 we don't. And I refuse to be a part of anybody saying that we should have a national divorce. I am not leaving the documents and the founding of this country in their hands. They left it. They left it. Not me. I still believe in those documents. They do not. They can secede.